burn questions. It's 8:30 at night, and we'll something to spark the fire.
Maharaj, you mentioned yesterday, you said that Prabhupada said that we should be allowed an allowance, but you seem to mostly be making a point that we should full time when you should be expected to be paid. So what is it?
No, Prabhupada was not in favor of salaries. Not only not being in favor of salaries, it's not synonymous with volunteer work. Salary means you have to pay me this much. If you don't pay me this much, I don't work. That's not the mood of bhakti or devotional service. The devotional service is I'm here, and then whatever my needs are, I just depend on those being maintained. That was the proper spirit of voluntary service and what devotional service is about. So that what does it require? And obviously, Peter, that doesn't mean that people should be living on the breadline. Devotees should have the basic necessities of life, but like that, according to need, not according to I'm worth so much an hour, so much a year, so you have to give me this much, and if I don't go somewhere else, then and that's really misses the whole devotional mood, which is that we're surrendering to Krishna, we're giving ourselves to Krishna. He's offering to translate Prabhupada's books into Hindi for a certain salary. And you can see Prabhupada, he really wants his books translated. And he says, no, we cannot do this. We cannot do this for a salary. And then Prabhupada said, if I pay you, so all my work, all my devotees there are just working for nothing. They're just working to eat. They get the prasadam, a place to stay. If I pay you, then I will have to pay them. What is bhakti? Bhakti means it's coming from the heart. That's the priority. And obviously it requires intelligence. A brahmachari just needs, 6 square feet to sleep on, whereas a grihastha with a family needs more. So that's understood, and that should be taken into consideration. And you can but that's in West, there's this word in kind. In other words, you give someone remuneration according to in terms of the food that they need and the necessities that they need in order to sustain. And that's fine. Most different people have different policies. My opinion would be that particularly with Sankirtan, where the whole idea is that you want to give people Krishna consciousness. The problem is that we have a you know, we have quite intense contact with the mode of passion, and we're trying to control that already. And the symptom of passion, or the result of passion, is fruit of result. So if you feed that fruit of result by saying you're getting a percentage of every donation that you get, in other words, the more bigger you do on Sankirtan, the more you get, it's really tempting one's passionate nature, along with which a lot of other things are going to come along, namely disturbance for sense gratification and so on as well. And then it's questionable how chaste our approach is to people on the street. You know, in other words, when we're thinking of doing big, are we really going to be thinking of doing big because we were distributing a lot of books and it's for the pleasure of the Lord, or can you avoid the consciousness that you're doing big because you're going to get a bigger donation also, which obviously means, what are you going to do with it? What do you need the more for? So you're going to have to figure out something that you need the more for also. Well, yeah, I guess then if I really do big on the marathon, I can trade in my Escort for a Granada or my Granada for a BMW. And so the mind's going to come up with these things, and it's like sort of igniting a little fire and causing us unnecessarily problems. So if someone's... And the fact that Sankirtan is like such a public activity, and you know, you're not out there telling me, excuse me, sir, give me a fiver as I'm getting 40% of that, you know, and you're not saying that, you're going to say I'm a monk. The monks, neither in your mind, neither in anyone else's mind, the monks get a percentage. Those monks don't exist who work for a percentage. It's not a tradition. It's not a tradition in the West, what to speak of in India. So maintenance is then a simple thing. And if for some reason I need more, I discuss with the temple president, I need to go to India, then you get more. And then it's sort of a chaste and simple way of living. It keeps that type of mentality. And then Srila Prabhupada said, but if someone can't live like that, and that's also all right, then, in other words, it's not a sin. It's not how Yudhisthira Maharaj lived. If someone can't live like that, then they have to provide for themselves. So if whatever it is the temple's providing, you get this apartment and you get an escort, but if an escort isn't enough and you want a BMW, that's fine. But then you have to work for it, because we don't want monks driving around in BMWs to start with. And, well, you know, if all Sankirtan, you get in BMW, and the person who just gave you the last donation sees you get in, he may not give you again. It's a good chance. So, but that's fine. If someone wants to, then okay. If you want more than what the temple's able to give, don't change the temple. Then that means one takes responsibility. Not worse, and then you give to the temple. Then you make more, and more means that then you give. So that's fine. That's also respected. It's just dharma. It's a matter of everyone acts according to their nature. But we shouldn't try to change the system to suit our nature. This was the system Prabhupada gave, and then just stick with the system.
Actually, in the one of the purposes of Bhagavad Gita is, Prabhupada says that in order to get a good son, one must follow the 10 principles of social life. I was wondering what these principles are.
He doesn't mention what they are.
Chapter 16, verse 1 in the first part.
I don't know what that particular refers to. So many things. Sometimes Prabhupada makes statements like when Narada Muni is visiting Dwarka, then Prabhupada says the Agrihastha should do these five sat sacrifices every day. Sometimes these instructions are time related, they relate to some, and they're culturally related also, like fire sacrifices, not necessary for Grihasthas to be doing fire sacrifices three times a day. But the essence should be kept of all of these. So the essence is the sacrifice, is that one should do yagya. For us, yagya means chanting Hare Krishna. The essence of for Grihasthas, Grihasthas should give charity. So either they've already given their lives in charity, or they give in charity. These things are the ores proper. So you invite your neighbors to lunch, or whoever may be in the neighborhood. So very often, just like, you know, in every age, there's a different type of religious process, but the essence of them is always the same, which ultimately is to surrender to Krishna. Maybe the means is different, but the essence. So in all of these different traditional functions, cultural functions, social functions, there's some essential principle. We should try to grasp that and then see how that translates into where we're living here in the Western world, and how that applies to modern ISKCON, and even to what degree we can apply it to ourselves. Sara. Sara means essence.
Is a brahmachari necessarily a brahman? Can a brahmachari have a kshatriya guru?
Well, I mean, there are two types of brahmachari. Well, probably there's more than two types, but for instance, Krishna went and lived as a brahmachari. At that time, he was a kshatriya. When he went to Sandipani's Munja Ashram, he was already in the role of a king. He left Vrindavan and he was now a prince. So, and he went formally as for 2 months as a brahmachari training. It's pretty short training. That's how long he and Krishna Balaram went to Ujjain, Avanti. And then it was finished. For someone who would be a lifelong brahmachari, generally in the varnashram system, only Brahmins do that, because all the others should be married. Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudras. In Krishna consciousness, and that's the third type of brahmachari. In Krishna consciousness, we say we place a lot of emphasis on the strength of devotional practices, chanting Hare Krishna. And in our day and age, the gunas are really mixed up. We're already starting off Kalo Sudra Sambhavan, more or less we're all Sudras. And someone may have a little brahminical tendency, someone may have a little Chakra tendency, a little Vaishya tendency, but overall we're sort of mud. Socially, culturally. So, since that being the case, Srila Prabhupada still introduced the brahmachari also as both a training period and also as a lifelong practice. And if one is very, if one receives sufficient strength and at least can control the mode of passion, which means that someone's mind is not disturbed by association with the members of the opposite sex, then it can be brahmacharya. And is your kshatriya, is your brahman, is your vaishya, is actually more shudra than anything else. But if somehow or another, by combination of his modes as well as the strength of Krishna consciousness, is able to control those things now, you can do that. But the whole is—it's in what's the saying? The taste—it's in the tasting, the pudding.
Proof
of the pudding. Proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Yeah. So it's in the tasting. What's the nature that drives someone? Once a brahmachari came to me with a proposal that he felt that he wanted to get some more cultural things, be a little more independent and so on. I said, you should get married. He said, I don't want to get married. I don't want to associate with ladies. I don't feel I have that desire. I said, well, you may not feel like you have a desire to approach ladies, but the independent nature of being, not being as systematically directed as we are, for instance, in temple life, that only goes, you can't be a brahmachari. In other words, you can't be a brahmachari. A brahmachari is to live outside temples. Brahmachari is to live inside a temple. If you live outside a temple, you're not a brahmachari anymore. So I had difficulty connecting with that. I said, this is a symptom. You may not want to get married now, but if you continue with this mentality, you will want to, because it's just natural. So as it turned out, some months later, it did sort of dawn on him that, yeah, that's what, they were related. So the tasting should be there. One should be able to fit all the requirements of brahmacharya, which means I have no possessions, I have no demands, I'm fully dependent in all ways upon my maintenance. For example, I have no spirit of independent activity. I'm willing to do whatever I'm told to do, get up at midnight and wash the pots, fine, no problem. And that's that. And if you're not called for prasadam, then you don't eat. I mean, how many times does Prabhupada repeat that example? Innumerable times. In other words, one makes no demands, he just satisfies. If one has that mentality, then it can be a brahmacharya.